Hello, and welcome back to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast. With me today are Tom Ara, Joe Carlin, Pat Swanson, and I am Chris Nelson. Today we're going to be talking about OSHA, particularly the fact that we don't believe that OSHA exists in this future United States scenario that we find Westworld set in, or if it does, maybe we're just completely flaunting any sort of regulations that do exist. What we're going to be talking about today really are the kind of policies that need to be in place to protect employees, whether that be, as we mentioned already, OSHA, or if there are any sort of other regulations or just general company policies that really exist to protect the safety of the employees themselves. In order to kind of start this conversation off, the first thing that we're probably going to address is going to be the state of the facilities. We see multiple occurrences throughout the episodes where the facilities are in a not exactly desirable state. So let's get started by talking about why that is an issue and how we might want to address that moving forward. Who'd like to kick us off?
So I don't know if maybe the shiny exterior that we see in the show inside the working environment doesn't make the labs that we see look like a really bad place. But I think if we start digging in a little bit deeper, it's really more like violations and things that are happening under the surface. I think overall the workplace and the actual physical place itself is fine, but I think we're finding little things here and there that would kind of contradict that.
Well, that might be true in general, although, I mean, we do see some of the lower levels with flooding and lights going out and things of that nature. That doesn't seem particularly safe to me. I mean, it's not as unsafe as some of the things we see later in the show, but I would think at least slipping hazards would be at least something of a concern. But I take your point.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of the main areas that they have the majority of their workforce in, in good repair, we're in, you know, good facilities where we have something that we can work day in and day out without a problem. The areas that you're talking about, 100%, I agree. But there's no excuse for, you know, a low traffic area or a place where it's, you know, obviously they call it cold storage. They may not keep that up to 100% repair like they should, but it's something obviously that they could work on.
Well, Tom, in the last episode towards the end, there were a bunch of doors that were shutting because it was hard lockdown. These doors didn't have any sensors. They just kind of crushed a host in there. She was just kind of pinned. The doors don't have sensors to stop. They will kill you. That's OSHA certified.
Are we sure that they don't just have biometric sensors that didn't register?
That would be the first we've heard about biometric sensors. I would be very surprised.
Also, you're betting an awful lot on the quality of your sensors. If you have a problem with the system that picks up whether or not it's a host arm that's in the door or a human arm, I don't think that's going to make a lot of difference to the human arm. We had a system that didn't work.
Hopefully we've got some good lawyers on hand.
I'm not disagreeing with any of you guys. I just wanted to throw it out there. I think we've already seen throughout the course of the show that we have no way of distinguishing between what people are and what hosts are. So it's fair to also assume that we can't make that sort of leap only for the blast doors that are closing during an active shooter situation.
Before we move on from that, I want to say to you guys and to our audience a little bit more about why I think that particular idea with the doors, you know, only having the doors slam shut on hosts, is a bad idea. We already know this company has at least once deactivated the system that lets a host register as a host, right? Is it Clementine that they're testing with a fake technician?
Yes.
It's bad enough to do that with your fake technician. You shouldn't disable the system that makes hosts recognize each other. But that coupled with a security lockdown system that depends on that is just a compounding problem.
I agree. Let's move on.
So you guys mentioned OSHA before, but we haven't really spelled out what that is, and it's possible some people don't know.
Sure. So OSHA is an acronym, actually. It stands for Occupational Safety and Health Administration. I think we did a little bit of reading beforehand, and it was actually created in the 70s by the government, and it's an agency that or an administration that is meant to kind of take care of a lot of the things that we're talking about right here, about worker safety, having a good and safe place for people to actually come in and do their jobs. It also gives some rights to employees so that they don't have to work in dangerous, you know, conditions. It's all about being able to make sure your workforce is in a good, stable location so that, you know, they can actually focus on doing their job and not worrying about, am I going to get killed when I'm at work today?
And I think what we see throughout the course of the show is that, one, either OSHA is no longer in existence, or two, Westworld is going to be the subject of the mother of all fines for OSHA violations.
Now we're back to the lawyers.
I mean, that's accurate.
Yeah.
Usually when you lose fingers and or life and limb to your park, I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase it. I mean, your technology, right? Like, we're not really phrasing the host as other employees. We're really just treating them as a mentionable asset, a resource to keep Joe happy. So
it's no different than, you know, I'm a factory worker on an assembly line and something goes wrong and my hand gets caught in, you know, one of the machines that we use to build whatever widget we are making.
Okay, so let's take a step back from that, because if you're going to use that sort of analogy, I want to put it into a little bit of a perspective that while there needs to be some sort of safety regulation around what the employer is providing, we also need to take into account the fact that the employees are following the proper procedures for their own safety.
That's fair, 100%.
So if you use the example of worker on the floor, I have worked with people before that have been missing fingers because they did not follow the proper shutdown procedures prior to working on certain equipment and paid the price for it.
Oh, yeah.
Like the case of a body tech losing his finger at one point in the show.
Because he tries to go to work on Hector's equipment.
Yes. That analogy is correct. It may not be proper, but it is correct. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. If you're doing something that is not something you should be doing and trouble befalls you, it doesn't really fall under those violations. So, like, if you're not also taking the onus on yourself to make sure that you're addressing those problems accordingly, we want to make sure that we differentiate that a little bit. I think that we're all in agreement on that.
Yeah, responsibility lies on both sides, right?
Right.
You have to, you as the employer need to provide a safe experience or a safe workplace, and then you as the employee need to essentially not be dumb and follow directions and so things don't go wrong.
I think an additional responsibility that the company has there is also providing training to their employees so that they know what the right practices are from the other ones. And I think we see precious little of that in the course of this show.
So you're saying the body tech should have made sure that the host was turned off before he went and did his thing?
There's a number of times the body tech should have made sure the hosts were turned off. But sure. That's one of those times.
So I think training is a great point. It's obviously something that's either not done or completely ignored when we're watching the show. What may be some of the things that we would seem to, you know, require in that training? Obviously, like you said, whenever work is being done on a host, make sure the thing is actually in sleep mode, something that would have solved a lot of the problems we see in the show. What else would essentially be on that list?
I mean, that would have solved more than just the safety problems we see on the show. That would have solved pretty much the whole show. Well, not the entire show, but a good chunk of it. Anything that happened with Maeve, no longer an issue if we actually make sure that things are turned off, but that's not really a safety issue. However, making sure that the hosts are turned off before you attempt to perform illegal acts with them? Huh. Go figure that we don't have policies around that either.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah. Pat?
One other thing that I think would have helped with the, all of the situation around Maeve is we obviously haven't done enough training or reinforced the idea enough that you have to report any unusual, behavior, I suppose, of the hosts. They go back and forth, the two body techs, whose names I cannot recall at the time, about, was she shut down? Why didn't you shut her down? I did shut her down. And there should have been an issue logged here. Like, there needs to be a culture of reporting these things on the side of too much reporting rather than too little. And not reinforcing this results in, I mean, we saw an extreme case in this show, but there's got to be dozens or hundreds of smaller issues that were swept under the rug here simply because people didn't think they were important enough and didn't know.
That is a perfect segue into part of the thing that the body techs found that I think is a major issue that we didn't ever really get covered, which is the MRSA. At one point in time when the body techs are reviewing Maeve, they realize that she's pretty heavily infected by MRSA. So that in and of itself, the fact that that goes unreported completely and they just kind of brush it off. Let's first establish the fact that hospitals have containment protocols around MRSA, none of which are taken into account during this process of dealing with Maeve. Beyond that, too, the whole concept of having, and this extends not just to the, partially to the employees, because we unfortunately see that the body techs are taking heavy liberties with the hosts throughout the course of things, but also the impact that that has on your client base and their safety as well. It bridges the gap a little bit, but you run the risk of exposing a large number of people to something that is resistant to antibiotics and resistant to treatment. I mean, it's without going too far, it's almost the same leap as people that refuse to vaccinate their children and then expose them to other children. Like, we're just throwing that kind of haphazard disregard for human life out there and not covering it.
Let's take a step back before we throw those stones too hard. What is MRSA and why is this such a problem?
Essentially, what MRSA is, because it's a very long medical name that I'm going to butcher here, and then we're going to get a whole bunch of hate mail about the fact that I can't even say something simple that people go to school for 8 years to pronounce right. It's basically an antibiotic-resistant staph infection. It's something that's become more prevalent in this age of as we develop antibiotic resistances throughout the world and the fact that we kind of have overprescription of antibiotics. And this is a really dangerous question for me to answer because I'm really going to go off the rails here and into a heavy rant about the fact that we need more antibiotic stewardship in the world. But
it sounds like a whole different podcast.
It is an entirely different podcast. So let's take a step back from that. It's MRSA is just something that exists because of natural resistances to treatments that currently exist for infections. We'll stop it there. If anyone wants my opinion, feel free to email us and I will send you a long diatribe about how I feel about antibiotics in this world. But beyond that, we can kind of move on from there.
So I want to jump back a little. You talked about containment procedures from hospitals, and I could see someone saying, well, maybe you should give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's really hard. Maybe. But I think it's actually, based on what we see in the show, fairly easy for them to take advantage of the systems they already have to contain this problem. Apparently, body techs can just go and print new host bodies without anybody noticing or checking up on them or any of that. The cost cannot be particularly high. We also know they have an incinerator that they get rid of hosts with. If you find a nasty antibiotic-resistant infection in a host, burn it and print the new one.
Yeah, that part really didn't make sense. It's clear, like, they even remade Maeve at some point without any authorization, but they remade her when they took the bomb out, but they couldn't do the same or a similar thing when she had MRSA after they found it.
I think it's implied, given how familiar they are with the process. We don't see them really fumbling around with it. They know which section of the spinal column is the bomb. They print new hosts fairly regularly. This is not something they're unfamiliar with.
And that makes the MRSA ignorance that much more unforgivable.
I agree.
So one of the things you guys touched on a little bit, but maybe we should dive in a little bit more, is I believe part of kind of the OSHA standards of things is not only just providing the good workplace, but also having a way for employees to raise concerns and bring those up the chain and actually have some sort of either investigation or at least looking into the complaint in order to make the workplace better. And it feels like some of the things that we're talking about really kind of revolve around if there was this kind of clear chain of command, I guess. Maybe these things could have been either solved or at least addressed in a better way.
So I think the fact that we've established this previously, but we don't have a very strong support organization around this company at all. There isn't a human resources organization, which isn't the core focus of this kind of protection, but they're probably the people you'd be reporting to or your operational security people, whatever the case may be. But we really don't see clearly defined elements of any departments that would be able to receive these kind of complaints, nor do we see throughout the course of the episode. And again, we're making some assumptions here based on what we're able to see through all of the episodes of the show. We can't really make a strong determination on what the state of the national regulations are, how these regulating bodies are actually handling things. Who knows if the Department of Labor even exists anymore? It's tough to say. It wouldn't surprise me entirely if we defunded something like the Department of Labor in the next 20 years, given the way the country's going at this point. But, you know, this is the future. We don't know. It's fiction. It's a Michael Crichton fictional universe, so everything has to decay anyway. So let's just approach it from that aspect and realize we need to do things differently. I don't think that it's too ridiculous to assume that we need to have that reporting structure in place, even if the regulations don't exist. We need to have some sort of, whether it be department set up within the company, if it's an existing department that's just taking that work on, or if it's a separate reporting structure, whatever the case may be, there needs to be an outlet for any employee to report anything that they don't feel comfortable with. And like you said, I think we have a single point of failure here because of the reporting structure, where if you don't feel comfortable with something, you just go to Ford. And if Ford dismisses your opinion, well, fuck it, you're out of luck.
Do they need a whistleblower system?
Well, I mean, the whistleblower system usually gets you killed, according to the show. So let's be honest. Let's name our people who have actually reported things being wrong. Bernard, oh, you're a host. You don't actually have a will of your own. Elsie, oh, we'll just send Bernard to kill you. Teresa, we'll send Bernard to kill you too. Oh, anyone else that's actually blown the whistle on anything throughout the course of the show, it's implied that we just had Bernard kill you as well. So I don't think that there's really an accurate... Man, Ford is an asshole.
Did Bernard try to kill himself, or was he shot? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
None of you guys? None of us remember.
We should probably go back and watch the show.
You mean, yeah.
Was that required?
We were supposed to watch the show?
So bringing it back a little bit to... the other precautions that we need in place for people, and the fact that we just mentioned the fact that employees have been killed. Let's take a step back, say that maybe the employees weren't killed. Maybe they just died on the job. We know that Teresa was murdered. We know that Elsie was murdered. We know that Arnold had himself killed. Assuming that we're not looking at malicious intent as part of these deaths, the process that is taken in order to investigate these sort of things is still not conducive to employee safety. In the case of Elsie, she goes off the grid. We know that she's probably still around, but like no one's able to get a hold of her. There's no sort of protocol in place for tracking down employees. And we're dealing with a park that is essentially established to be away from society. We know that the employees are located there for a length of time, and I think we've mentioned this like earlier, similarly to an oil rig. Like they're away for a while, they're going to be there. They don't necessarily have an easy method of egress from the park itself. So the fact that someone goes off the grid while they're on the job is something that should be investigated more thoroughly. Like you need to be having some policies in place so that if there are questionable questions, that's great. If there are questionable things that arise, if there are some concerns about an employee's safety that come up at any point in time, those need to be followed up on. We need to be making sure that employee safety is being addressed in those manners. And if we think someone's been lost on the property, we need to find them. If you lose a park ranger, they don't just go, eh, they'll probably turn up eventually. They go looking for the goddamn park ranger.
So I agree with you. And I think the case here is even stronger because they know they've had someone be killed in this park by hosts and do not understand why.
Well, and yeah, I see that, but at the same time, I think that part of that is probably Ford's manipulations. And this is a very difficult subject overall for us to tackle, right? The entire employee safety thing, because we know that Ford is actively ruining employee safety throughout the course of his actions. We're getting around that, though. But so let's say no malicious intent. We're pretending Ford doesn't exist. He's not really the head of the company. The fact that you have someone die under unknown conditions, why the hell are we not doing more? I agree with you 100%. There needs to be something in place to actually capture the data around what happened to that employee. Where's the investigation? There's no investigation into what happened to Arnold. There's no investigation into what happened to Elsie. There's no investigation into what happened to Teresa. And actually, the investigation into Teresa, there's an internal investigation that's briefly touched on throughout the course of the show. But you have someone who has died clearly of strangulation, especially in her. We don't know really everything that happened with Arnold, so it's really hard to speculate on that because of what we see. But we do see a little bit of what happened to Teresa. We know there's an internal investigation. It's highly probable that homicide is in play here. Why the hell is there no police presence?
Thank you.
Why is there no police involvement? Why? It's like if I go into the office tomorrow and I find out that Pat has been strangled, I won't just go, eh, security will take care of it. Well, like someone's going to call the goddamn police.
Maybe if it was Pat.
Well, okay, maybe if it was Joe and not Pat. But like you get my overarching point that like somebody is going to look in this at some point in time. There's no autopsy. There's no...
Well, they don't find her during the course of the show. So there is that, right? I mean, they never find Teresa's body. Presumably Ford hides it somewhere in that same sector that nobody ever goes to.
I think they do touch on her being dead. Like, I do believe that there's a point where they mention an internal investigation into, and if I'm wrong, then we are going to delete this from the episode and no one will ever know.
You know that's staying in now.
The fact that I'm trying to cover my tracks by saying whatever I want and hoping the editor will clean it up later?
You know the editor. He's not that nice.
The editor is a dick. but yeah, regardless of that, and we need to realize as part of our employee safety policies, at some point in time, if things go beyond the scope of what the company itself can handle, there needs to be the outside involvement of any sort of rescue or authority figures, whether it be the police, whether it be, you know, if someone gets cut at work and it's bleeding horribly, you don't just go, eh, we'll fix it as they're bleeding out. You call 911 and they send an ambulance and you have that addressed. There's none of that approach. Like any injuries that people are like, when you're in a remote location, there's probably going to be some sort of local medical response team. We don't know that that exists because we never see it, but we know that that's something that should be in existence. But beyond that, when it gets beyond your local response abilities, you need to be able to escalate to something else to ensure employee safety. We don't see that at any point in time.
Well, and I think that seems like another thing that maybe we need to add to the list of changes we want to make. I agree with you. We're in some remote location. It's very possible and probably the best course of action to take is that we need to have our own essentially police type of staff or medical type of staff on campus all the time in the park, ready to go in case anything like this happens. They need to be essentially be the first responders.
You mean we should have people that are able to respond to trauma and or active shooter and or whatever else?
Sure.
Clear failures all around.
Yeah.
We'll touch on that later.
I really like that you say on campus. I don't know that this is where you are going, but they have that on college campuses. They have campus police for that specific purpose, even if those colleges are in another town that already has their own police. The Mesa facility is so isolated, it makes the case for them having that so much more strong. And given that those other places have their own police force, I feel like it's a no-brainer that, yes, they need them. If you have all these employees, you know there has to be crime. So I was just checking the wiki, which knows more than I do about the show, for sure. In the eighth episode, Teresa's body is in the Mesa facility after she's killed. And
put it on the board. Yes!
We shouldn't count it for very much, given that you had all of those caveats afterwards about cutting those things from the show. So, anyway, you happen to be right this time. That yes, Ford is there denying all knowledge of what has gone on to Bernard and to Charlotte. And then they talk about, you know, what's going on. They also talk about Teresa's demonstration being staged, if that helps anybody remember that particular scene.
So right. Anyway. Blame the victim. What? It works in media. Why would it not work in corporate espionage? Everyone's giving me dirty looks right now. So, to summarize everything that we've talked about today, in a loose fashion at least, having some sort of policies in place to ensure your employee safety is one of two things. Either it's just good business, and that's going to be the primary driver here, regulations aside, or there are regulations in place that are trying to make sure that it is good business and you're not just a shitty business owner. So if we buy shirts for all the owners of all businesses that say don't be shitty, then the idea is you're putting policies in place that protect your employees, bottom line. Whether those policies address the working conditions, some training around how they need to approach their safety, some policies about how they need to approach the technology they're working with, any sort of additional response that needs to be put in place if employees are injuring themselves or running into trouble, having some sort of reporting mechanism so that employees can safely express concerns about their working environment without ending up dead. All of these are important. All of them feel like common sense. We know that common sense isn't really common, though. Next time, we'll tackle pretty much the other side of the house, see how things apply that can protect clients as well as the employees. Thanks for listening.
To find out more about this podcast and for the show notes of this episode, please go to dollarsandcentsofwestworld.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dollarsandcentsofwestworld and on Twitter at @_DASOW.
I really wish we could get like a Chuck E. Cheese employee or someone involved with that organization. Like, I bet that the animatronics there have never killed a guest. I feel fairly confident. And there's got to be some kind of rules related to how those things are cared for and how that place is run. They probably don't pick up rifles and shoot everyone watching sometime. They probably don't do that.
Yeah, but the animatronics also have not been programmed to pick up rifles and shoot everyone watching. So therein lies the difference. Scott. Although now that you mentioned it, I guarantee we're probably going to go back and find out that somebody died at Chuck E. Cheese, which makes me feel horrible.
He's going to add it in the show notes right now. Google for if anyone's died at Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese death toll is at 6 this year so far. Before we wrap this up, I just want to say, after we joked about people dying in Chuck E. Cheese, I found a headline, Police Find Satanic Ritual Dungeon in Chuck E. Cheese Basement. And it goes on to talk about 3 bodies were found in the basement with a bunch of terrible things. And I'm thinking, no way, this happened in Chicago? Like, this would have appeared on my radar. So I do some digging around, and now 8 News is full of fake news. It's a fake news website. But while you guys were going on and on, I'd been digging into this like, this is insane. How can this happen?
It can't.
I'm glad that
not even in Westworld.
I'm glad that you just spent this episode going down the rabbit hole of fake news rather than addressing the points that we were bringing up.
This level of terribleness probably couldn't happen in Westworld unless the man in black was in charge of running it.
You mean fake news can't happen in Westworld?
That too. If it's all made up, it's all fake, right?
We totally need to do some sort of like Teespring thing for a t-shirt that just says, don't be shitty.
Don't be shitty.
Yeah, that's got to be our like fundraising or something.
Right, yeah. Help pay for the website. Don't be shitty t-shirts. Don't be shitty.